answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Is the $1 trillion experiment of spending money, taxpayers' money on climate change, is that finally ending?
I think it is. I think we've seen peak climate crazy. We've brought common sense back to Washington, and it is contagious. You know, Canada just scrapped their carbon rules that were suppressing their oil production, their ability to build pipelines. You see reversals in most of the European nations. It's just common sense. People are starting to think about their citizens again, about cost of living, about jobs. And of course, when you look back at 30 years of COP climate conferences, nothing substantive came out of them.
Right.
A lot of money, a lot of ink, a lot of promises to get rid of hydrocarbons. Their market share didn't even change over the last 30 years.
That is Energy Secretary Chris Wright talking about that maybe we have broken the woke as far as their climate alarm, their green god altar they worship. Maybe. But keep in mind that they have a lifespan longer than the cockroach. Let me break it down for you. First of all, welcome aboard hour number two. Larry Connors, USA. Here we are, December 2nd, 2025. And reminding you, you can get our app and download it on your phone. Newstalk STL. Go to Newstalk STL at any app store of your choice. You can get it for absolutely free. We need minimum information. And then you can, at any point, anywhere in the nation, anywhere in the world, if you have service, you can open it up and listen to the program we have on the air at that moment, which would be right now, Larry Connors USA. But then we have all of our other great programs and hosts. And then if you do miss anything, you can also use that same app and pull up the podcast of any program you want to listen to. I encourage you to do it. Put it on your phone. And then actually what I do, in addition to our great FM signals, we have two of them. The digital signal on the phone is much clearer than even the broadcast signal. So that's due to atmospheric conditions and things beyond our control. Plus, we can only reach so far. So folks who go a little farther away from us, they're not going to be able to hear the program at all unless they're listening through the app. So I put it on and play it through the Bluetooth in the car, in the speakers, just like it is a radio, but it's the app and you get perfectly great sound. Try it out. Let me take a moment to remind you that we are still trying to help gather as much food as we can to help the needy, feed my people, working with the St. Louis Republicans. And also we've got drop-off spots where you can leave perishable, non-perishable goods in some of the canisters at Bartolino's, Chris's Pancake locations, Michael's Flooring, or even outside our own studios. We're going to continue collecting through the December 20. So you could help supply some food for people that truly are in desperate need or just need a little more help. Don't be judging at this point. Be charitable. I want to remind you, Larry Connors USA, of course, you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to leave this hour with more knowledge than you have right now. That happens on every hour we bring you. And I promise by the time we're done, you will know more than you do right now about a lot of different subjects. One of the subjects coming up later is there is a push by a congressman to drop dual citizenship. If you have a U.S. citizenship and maybe also citizenship to Australia, England, Mexico, wherever, you have a dual passport, dual citizenship, he's proposing you make a choice. You pledge allegiance to this nation and you drop the other citizenship. when that's put to that in that way to some, will they decide to stick with the U.S. passport, U.S. citizenship, or go back to the country that maybe they'd love and where they were born, but they recognize the value of this country more, so they will have to make a choice. I'm not totally sold that this is a good idea, but we'll be discussing it coming up a little bit later in this hour. What I will agree with, which even the leftists don't want to acknowledge, is that we are having more and more great situations reference our economy. We talked about this to some extent yesterday. And what we've had showing so far, and this dealing with strictly the Black Friday sales, it exceeded expectations. Then we had the White Monday sales, a lot of that also online. Overall retail sales, including automotive, rose 4% from last year. One economist said it shows a consumer has the ability to spend. Will they? Are they enthusiastic enough? Will they continue to do so? Or will they pull back, fearing what could be coming? Well, one place where you can't get around spending money, and that is your car. Your car, you're going to have to put gasoline in. Or you got an electric car, you still got to pay for that as well. But more and more information is coming out for those who were sure that Trump was going to destroy our economy, not just with the tariffs, but pushing and pulling and creating losses, greater demand than available for things like gasoline, that you'd be paying way north of $7 or so. That's not true. And he's not having to do like Joe Biden, breaking into our emergency supply and begin to spread it around so we can make it look like we're doing great when we're really not. That's what Biden did. He robbed our emergency petroleum reserve. It's meant there, as it stated, an emergency. Even CNN had to admit the gas prices are unbelievable.
This morning, some states seeing gas prices below $3 for the first time in years. Let's get to CNN's Matt Egan for the good news on this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to finally be here with some good news on the cost of living front. So for the first time in 4.5 years, gas prices are averaging $3 a gallon nationally, according to AAA, down by 7 cents in just the past week. Gas prices were low a year ago as well, but they're even cheaper now. This is encouraging to see, because late last month, there was a period where gas prices were actually higher this year than last year, but that has reversed again. And now we've just fractions of a penny away from breaking below $3 a gallon.
Have you seen that at the pump? Of course you have. You know, if you have the means and you need gas, you stop and you get it wherever you are. You don't go shopping. You don't decide to drive. Well, I know about 3 miles down the road, there's a station that has it a penny and a half cheaper. You don't have either the luxury and or why should you? It's good to be in that situation. Not everyone is. But these lower prices are trying to basically level the field for all Americans. Not just Republicans, not just MAGA supporters, all Americans, and that includes the leftists. Of course, they simply don't want to admit that at any point. But again, if you look at how many states right now are doing so great when it comes to gasoline prices, you might be amazed.
We've got 20 states across the country where the average is actually less than $2.75 a gallon, including North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Colorado as well. Certainly nice to see this. Why is this happening? Well, it all comes down, of course, to oil prices, right? Oil prices are about $59 a barrel this morning. If you look back in history, on December 1, 3 years ago, we're looking at $81 a barrel for oil, $67 even last year. So significantly cheaper. And that's because right now, supply of oil continues to outpace demand. It's U.S. supply Production in the U.S. is at all-time highs. It's higher than last year, but only a little bit higher. OPEC is the big story, though, right? Saudi Red OPEC, they are ramping up production substantially this year.
And you know what? They want to be in part of this great economic turnaround for our nation and the world. Joe Biden did everything he could to curtail any drilling, any efforts to make us energy independent. Trump in his first 4 years, his first term, did exactly what he said he would. He was going to make us energy independent, which he did. But of course, here came Biden and turned it all upside down again. Trump started over, and look where we are now. Those traveling during the holiday realized it were almost every state they might have gone to. They saw the prices at $3 or less per gallon. By the way, with all this cold weather that's hit, and I don't know the exact reason, and I have not had a chance to verify it, but I saw from a listener that they went to stop at one of these Tesla battery charging locations where they got about 20 or 30 Tesla battery locations to power your car. None of them were working. Not clear if it was because of the weather or something else, but sucks to be there and you're trying to get power from the Tesla, the electric supply, and there's nothing there. Now, I feel for you if you made that decision and you're stuck with it. Imagine people traveling cross-country and they get there and they see that there are pumps available. Then you got to worry about how many spots will be available and how fast you can get in. How long will it take to charge up to what you need to go where you want to go? And how much are you going to pay for that versus paying for gasoline nowadays? Want to turn our attention back to Minnesota. The New York Times admitted, as I told you yesterday, that there is widespread theft and graft in the Somalian communities in Minnesota because that's basically part of their culture. They say Somali refugees who came to the U.S. after their country's civil war were raised in a culture in which stealing from the country's dysfunctional and corrupt government was widespread and, in fact, encouraged. Well, with that in mind, one of the political donors for Minnesota Governor Walz is also facing his fraud issues.
The indictment says from December 2019 through June 2024, former Minneapolis Regional Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Jonathan Weinhagen embezzled, quote, hundreds of thousands of dollars from the chamber and its business members. It says he entered into sham contracts with a fake consulting company he created and used an alias, James Sullivan, and at one point opened a line of credit in the Chamber of Commerce's name, used it for personal expenses, and diverted donations from chamber business members to repay the money. But for some in Minneapolis, the most upsetting charge is for mail fraud. It says the Chamber of Commerce gave $30,000 to Crime Stoppers to fund rewards for information leading to an arrest in three shootings in May 2021 that killed two children and severely injured a third. A year later, it says Weinhagen requested Crime Stoppers return the money, and when he got the check, he, quote, stole the money and used it to pay for his personal expenses.
What? He stole the money to go to crime victims, and he stole the money and used it for his own personal use? This is the kind of corrupt politician that exists not just in Minnesota and not just in the Democrat Party, but across the nation. Everyone needs to be called out. They need to be held accountable. They need to be put behind bars. But Minnesota has widespread corruption, and it's all under Governor Walz because Governor Walz is trying to stay nice and play nice with the Somali community. He's got a congresswoman, Omar, who is there, and he wants to support her because her support for him keeps him in office. And they were thinking that because we are so buddy-buddy with Somalians here, Walz might well be good for a vice presidential candidate with Kamala or even presidential timber. But they think if we play politics with the people, they won't recognize it and we'll get away with it. Which brings me to a statement by one congresswoman that said that regular people just want help. They don't care if a politician is a Republican, a Democrat, socialist, or independent. Now, I understand what she's saying. If you need help, you don't care who gives you the money that helps you when you're drowning. You are literally in the sea, the waves washing over you. Someone throw me a life raft of some type. Anybody. I don't care about your religion, your color, your politics. Give me something that will help get me out of here. But the problem that exists with the left is much like we hear the charges against the Walls donor. If they throw it out there to bring you in, they're going to expect some payback. They want some retribution. They want a little bit of little vig. I mean, it's just like dealing with the mafia. We're not going to give you anything for free. You're going to end up paying for it. So we have this attitude that we can steal from the victims of crime, use the money for ourselves. We can steal through the debit program. In Minnesota, a $1 billion fraud involving the program to help autistic children, claiming that basically one out of six to eight kids Somalian descent in Minnesota are autistic, which is far above the national average. It's a scam. It's a grift. The only group that's done apparently a better job, just hadn't been caught, as would be the Nigerians. And yep, they're still operating. And I might add the Associated Press. I'm adding the Associated Press because I got a personal letter from the Associated Press urging me, Larry, will you send us money so we can be a better news organization? Boy, did I have an answer for them. I gave them an answer. No money, but an answer. You'll hear that coming up later in this hour. Also coming up in this hour, what do we do about dual citizenships? Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Or feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels. Oh, number seven. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I know. I hear many of you saying, that must be Larry Connors theme song. Yeah, it could be. Thank you, old number seven, Jack Daniels. We have a Republican senator, Bernie Moreno of Ohio. He was born in Colombia, the country of Colombia, but has since renounced his Colombian citizenship. And he said, one of the greatest honors of my life was when I became an American citizen at 18, the first opportunity I could so, I took an honor to pledge an oath of allegiance to the U.S. and only to the U.S. Being an American citizen is an honor and a privilege. If you want to be an American, it's all or nothing. He says it's time to end dual citizenship for good. Well, what do you think? More importantly, what does my guest think? Tim Martin, Director of Marketing for the John Birch Society. Welcome aboard, Tim. Glad to have you with us. Hello, Tim. We got you there? All right, we're reestablishing. I hear him a little bit in the background, but we've got a little problem going on. I think somebody got in. Some of the Soros people are still floating around in the vacuum out here, looking for a way to get in and ruin this station and affect our programming. But they're not going to. Once again, Tim Martin, Director of Marketing for the John Birch Society. Tim, glad to have you with us.
Great to be here. Can you hear me now?
I hear you fine. Don't do anything that would change that. All right. So let's get your response first to Senator Moreno's belief that we should end dual citizenship.
I certainly wouldn't have any kind of a problem with it. I mean, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals are not going to want to have somebody in a Chicago Cubs jersey in their dugout, right?
But they might end up in a trade. They could end up in a trade doing that. Go ahead.
In all seriousness, I think Bernie, his statement was actually pretty spot on. And in fact, of really what he's speaking about is the value of being an American and what it means to be an American. What we've seen over the last probably 20 or 30 years is this immigration shift, which has been intentional, and it has been meant to water down the culture of our country to ultimately change the politics of our country. So I think this angle of ending dual citizenship is probably a great idea.
Well, now, let's break it down in more detail. The legislation is officially called the Exclusive Citizenship Act of 2025. And again, as you said, it's meant to bolster the interest of this nation, not a concern for holding dual citizenship, because dual citizenship means you also have some loyalty and maybe support for the country where you're from. It could be Australia, could be England, it could be Somalia. Why could you not have a dual interest for both?
Well, I mean, if we just look at the Bible, it tells you that we can't serve two masters. At the end of the day, the American citizens are owed, and I think they're entitled to, via their tax payments, knowing which way you are going to go when it comes down to it. I don't like the idea of having to second guess where a particularly a representative's allegiance is for sure.
Sure.
Now, when it comes to citizens, maybe it's a little bit different. They're not really holding any sway over us. They're not any leadership positions, et cetera. But again, you know, even that starts to kind of differentiate things, I suppose, because what if that person does become an elected official? Do they have to then go through the steps to renounce or something like that? So if we just end it all together, it's probably a little bit cleaner and we don't have to guess.
Well, and it is true. We obviously know folks that, you know, they were born in, let's say, England. And they're proud of that, and they're proud of their English heritage. They came here, and now they also have a U.S. citizenship. What's wrong with that?
I see a little bit of the difference between the effective citizenship and heritage. Heritage is more familial. So I don't think that that is necessarily a bad thing. But when it does come to allegiance, you know, we pledge allegiance to the United States flag under the Republic.
Yes.
It's not, you know, we are under the Union Jack or, you know, some other affiliation. It is to the United States. And I think going back to what I was originally saying, I think if the idea and the value of being an American is so watered down that it is not people's first choice, then we probably have some other conversations to have.
I agree fully with you to that extent, and I understand people and their heritage and wanting to maintain that. Well, dropping the citizenship does not drop that heritage. It's still part of their background. But the key factor for me is allegiance. Are you going to be pledging allegiance to support this nation against your prior homeland?
Sure. And let's look at the military example as well. I don't think that we want to go down that road of having dual allegiance for our military members or dual allegiance even, you know, with our police officers, you know, locally either. So it does sort of, you know, open up this question mark. And I kind of want to stay away from that as much as possible, I think.
And I know why you want to stay away. I know why you want to stay away. It's a third rail, and it basically says you're going to dictate that you, if you're going to live here in this country, you must be an American or else.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think there's anything really wrong with that. I think we need to, again, bolster the idea of being an American and what it means to be an American. And that will draw attention and that will draw a desire for people, particularly immigrants, to come here and want to make that declaration as a mark of being proud of what you have actually done and what you have achieved. Because, you know, the immigration process is long. It's tedious. It means a lot. It costs money for people.
Right.
So we want to have, you know, a pot of gold for them at the end of the rainbow, I think.
You know, I often on poker trips, let me phrase it that way, to Vegas, I will have Uber, I'll have an Uber driver, Lyft driver, whatever, sometimes a cab driver, and many of them are from foreign nations. And in talking to them, they have been here long enough to either get us a citizenship or are working on it, and they're so excited to be part of our nation. And I look at the people passing by on the street, and many of them could probably care less that they live in America. They do not realize what exists elsewhere in the world.
Well, and I don't know that we have done the best job at telegraphing that either. And I, you know, with the Birch Society, I travel all over the Eastern United States in particular. And I, you know, I catch the Uber rides and I check with the drivers and I talk with them a little bit as well. And I do see a little bit of dichotomy where there are some that are proud to be here. They've gotten their citizenship, and then others that don't really care. And I think part of it is, you know, they're really here just for the spoils of the country. And part of the immigration process and why I particularly don't advocate for an expedited process is because the maturing is like a fermentation process. It has to develop. It has to become valuable. It has to be an invested interest. If it was just a matter of walking up to a teller, putting in, you know, $5,000 and getting your citizenship out of the, you know, with the receipt, there's no value there. There's no sacrifice. There's no commitment. And that's really what kind of separates the men from the boys, so to speak.
Those are all great points. And in fact, I had raised with the audience in a commentary that I've had running today how Rosie O'Donnell had, of course, left the U.S. 15 days after Trump was put into office, saying, I can't be in that country with that man. And so she went back to Ireland, where she has heritage roots. And now she's considering getting an Irish citizenship. What, I'd say, fine, go ahead and do that. But then you should drop your U.S. citizenship if you don't love this country that much. But she's pinning it not on the country, but on one political figure.
Yes, and it's, and that's really what it is. It's a political play. You know, she's looking for clicks. She's looking for attention. And don't get me wrong, I don't begrudge anybody for wanting to declare their citizenship wherever they want to do that. We have free will. That's you know, given to us by our Creator. The job of our government and our government officials, and I'm an elected official myself, is to protect our rights. That's government's role, is to protect our rights. But at the end of the day, you know, you're gonna have to pick a team. I mean, just look at what happened in college football, you know, over the weekend with the coaches trying to pick a team. You know,
right.
Look at Ole Miss. They're not gonna let Lane Kiffin coach in the bowl game.
Yeah.
You know, he's off the team. He's done. He's out the door. Uh-huh. Don't let it hit you. But I think some of those analogies sort of transfer to what we're looking at here.
I think they do.
But at the end of the day, it sounds like we agree that it's definitely you know, pick a team. Where's your allegiance? So that we don't have to really guess. And the protection of your heritage is sort of a separate side issue that nobody really has a big issue with.
No, I agree fully. And I want to thank you for taking time to put it in the way that you did, Tim Martin, again, Director of Marketing for the John Birch Society. So we appreciate your view on it. Thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thank you.
You bet, Tim. He's right on it. He said, you know, you can protect your heritage. You don't have to disavow your heritage. But if you're going to live in this country rather than just sucking up the spoils, why don't you declare that you have an allegiance to this nation? To that extent, I'm in favor of it. Now, what do you know about the Genesis Project? And what did I tell the AP when they came asking for money? Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, shawrealtors.com. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com.
This is News Talk STL. Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
With this pen today, President Trump signed an historic mission. This is reminiscent of the Manhattan Project that brought World War II to an early and successful end, similar to the Apollo projects that put a man on the moon in 1969. This is an all-in national effort to take the power of AI and pair it with the 40,000 outstanding scientists and engineers at our national labs to use the world's largest supercomputers to advance innovation and science, to fix our rising energy costs, to give better economic opportunities for our citizens, to make longer and healthier lives possible. Today was not incremental. It was transformative.
Transformative, as was the Manhattan Project. Those are the words of the Energy Secretary Wright regarding the president's Genesis Mission Executive Order. Now, there are different ways to look at the Genesis Mission program, but basically it comes down to a government-wide initiative to accelerate artificial intelligence breakthroughs in science, energy, and defense. There'd be a national AI platform, and hopefully it's controlled properly and not used or abused and certainly not turned against the people. You heard him mention the Manhattan Project. That obviously was developed at Los Alamos, New Mexico, as the U.S. working in collaboration with the United Kingdom and Canada put 130,000 people to work on building one of the first nuclear weapons. Nuclear physicist Oppenheimer, of course, was the director. They ended up designing this first and then a second nuclear device. Little Boy, and then Fat Man. And of course, it ended the war with Japan. After one was dropped, they didn't surrender. The second one they did, and they realized, how many more do they have? How many more can they build? We have to give up. So the Manhattan Project, and it got that designation as part of a code name, because the headquarters were actually in Manhattan, not New Mexico, but at the same time, it was a way to kind of cover it over. Of course, it's top secret at that point. We were in the midst of World War II. Now, on the Genesis Project, this is apparently going to be wide open in many areas, but we're obviously going to be concerned about who gets the information and how it's used. The Office of Science and Tech Policy Director Kratzios.
I think it's a huge opportunity for the United States to continue to outpace the world in scientific discovery and innovation. It's a place where the U.S. has always, for decades, even centuries, been the world leader in scientific breakthroughs, and this is the next big phase.
Will the Genesis mission guarantee that we stay one step ahead of China?
It is a very, very important step forward for continued U.S. leadership in scientific discovery and in AI more broadly. This is, I would argue, probably the largest marshaling of the federal government's scientific apparatus since the Apollo Project. And it's a special moment in our country's history in order to remind the world of just how amazing the U.S. is for scientific discovery.
All of that is true, but also the question was not fully answered by him when it came to competing against China. But that is part of the ultimate goal, not just China, but any adversary. The U.S. must lead in artificial intelligence for protection and security. Of course, we have to make sure it's done properly. There's a Genesis Project now at UC Berkeley, nuclear data project supporting the next generation of nuclear data. Then you have the Genesis Project, physics, artificial intelligence, using a AI model for robotics, four-dimensional dynamic worlds with high realism, training robotic policies and vehicles and devices. There are all kinds of directions to go, The key for me is that it's handled properly and for the benefit of mankind in general, and certainly for our nation. During the Manhattan Project, do you think anyone that was working on that at any point really started thinking about, we're trying to build a weapon that in a flash of the light could wipe out hundreds of thousands? Or was the mindset, we must win this war. We must bring it to an end. We must be victorious. That was the driving mission, not to kill hundreds of thousands. That's why there was a delay after the first one was dropped, giving Japan time to consider. Of course, we were still dealing with what had happened in Pearl Harbor. The pain, the scars were still very present. Hopefully, the Genesis mission will do what it's intended to do and be better for mankind. So I got this notice in my email. I don't really communicate with these folks on a regular basis. I don't know why they sent this to me. Well, I mean, I know why, because they know I'm doing this program, and they assume I read them all the time. That's the Associated Press. Dear Larry, well, actually, they didn't say that. They sent me a form letter. If you really want my attention for money, could you not at least say, Dear Larry? Larry Connors USA, something like that. It reads, Dear Valued Reader. I'm not a reader of the AP on a regular basis. The Associated Press says, right now, at this very moment, AP journalists are on the ground all over the world witnessing history. They were this time in cities across the U.S. last year as Trump administration policies impacted daily life and citizens responded with No Kings rallies. Yep, they did do that. They add that the Associated Press journalists documented natural disasters, the fires in L.A., flooding in Texas, but also how the communities came together and saying our journalists continue to bear witness to conflict, not just in our nation, but all around the world. So this is Giving Tuesday. Will you donate for us? We need you today. Here's my issue. Maybe I should read you my answer to them first. And of course, I know it went into a drop mailbox that no one will probably ever see, but I said it anyway, and I'll share my answer with you. Dear Associated Press, when you get back to legitimate, unbiased news coverage, maybe. I spent 50 years in this business, most as a TV news anchor, and no one knew my political views. And now I'll host a daily two-hour radio show where I can and do express my views, which is different from a news program. But I still have to sort through your political bias. For years, I taught others that the Associated Press and the CBS Blue Book were the gold standards in journalism. You lost not only that title, but you also lost credibility. This is a seismic fracture. I don't expect a reply, but I will share your plea. Please, with money. I'll share your plea with my audience. And you decide if you want to give to the Associated Press. We have groups that did, and in some cases still have, good standards. But now they're infiltrated by woke activists, alarmists. Global warming. Oh, my God, global warming. I'd be glad to see some global warming right now, wouldn't you? But it's all just a cry to get more money. And if you're not going to uphold the standards, I think you should, as an arbiter of news, the Associated Press, if you're going to constantly inject your commentary and your slant. And I saw this happening years ago. I mean, decades ago. I remember specifically calling the Chicago Associated Press office about an article they'd put out about a train wreck or something. They had all the information wrong, totally wrong. I was telling them, you need to know this. They said, okay. I said, well, you need to correct the story. Well, we already put the story out. They weren't going to correct a damn thing. They weren't even pushing a bias or slant. They were just pushing inaccurate information and took pride in it. Yeah, they've lost credibility. So you're not going to get any of my money. Period. President Trump and the First Lady have been active in celebrating Christmas. Already, the First Lady got involved in helping our troops.
Today, we are surrounded by people whose strength is often quiet, but always powerful. We speak regularly of the bravery of our service members, and we should. But we must also illuminate the bravery of those who walk beside them, the spouses who carry the weight of family life on top of their own dreams. Your lives require a resilience that few outside the military can understand. Moves that make you to take across the country and around the world. Holidays spent with an empty chair at the table. Milestones celebrated over screen because the person you love is thousands of miles away.
There is the First Lady, Melania Trump, with remarks she gave at Joint Base Andrews prior to helping assemble care packages for deployed troops. Now, I will grant you, whenever the First Lady or the President himself is involved in something like this, and same thing when Trump was posing as a counter salesman for McDonald's hamburger joint, it's all photo op. They don't really spend all day there doing that. We know that. She didn't spend all day there assembling these care packages. But it is a show that troops are on her mind and their families. And her words should ring so true for many Americans, because they do have loved ones in harm's way in some cases. And that would mean even on the streets of our nation as they serve as the National Guard members. It also means those off the coast of Venezuela or those dealing with crises elsewhere around the world. That they don't get to be home for Christmas and holidays with the family. And this also applies to every first responder. When I got into this business, I realized that holidays were not going to be the holidays I was used to having, because somebody had to be working, obviously. The more senior people normally got the holiday. And only if they had the family, then I would volunteer to work, because I didn't have a family. I mean, I was not married, no children at the time. It was not that big of a loss for me. And then we have our young National Guard woman killed the other day. You know why she was on the line that day? She volunteered to work that day so another member of her National Guard unit could visit and have time with his family. And what a price she paid. President Trump was at the White House Christmas party briefly.
I just want to let you know it's an honor for me to be your president. The people in this room, you took the place of a lot of people that wanted to be here, so I congratulate you. You either had friends or relatives or somebody that got you in here. How are you, my friend? Look at him. But it's an honor to be your president. We're going to do a great job. And, you know, we have a little more than 3 years left, and 3 years for Trump is an eternity. That's a long period of time. But you're very special, and this is a very, very special place.
It is a very special place. You know something else the president did? He signed a pair of bills yesterday. One would substantially increase monthly pension for the recipients of our nation's highest military award, the Medal of Honor. Raises the monthly pension from $16,000 basically annually to $67,000 annually. That's a big increase from $1,000 per month up to $5,000 plus. I think those who have earned that Medal of Honor deserve everything we can give them and more. Not just financial, but support in other ways, including prayer. As always, I thank you for listening. What did you learn this hour you didn't know when we began? We'll be back tomorrow for you. Class opens at 6. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.